Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Gun violence restraining orders, they're called. California actually has a version of this, and I think you, in your meeting with governors earlier this week, individually and as a group, we spoke about states taking steps. But the focus is to literally give families and give local law enforcement additional tools if an individual is reported to be a potential danger to themselves or others. Allow due process so no one's rights are trampled. But the ability to go to court, obtain an order, and then collect not only the firearms, but any weapons in the possession
or
of that
might
individual.
Take the firearms first and then go to court, because that's another system. Because a lot of times, by the time you go to court, it takes so long to go to court to get the due process procedures. I like taking the guns early, like in this crazy man's case that just took place in Florida. He had a lot of firearms. They saw everything. To go to court would have taken a long time. So you could do exactly what you're saying, but take the guns first, go through due process.
An Anne Arundel County man is dead after officers say he refused to give up his gun to police.
Officers shot and killed him at his home this morning, where they were attempting to enforce the new red flag law.
WJC is live near the scene in Ferndale. Kimberly Eaton is updating this developing situation. Kimberly.
And Vic, police just left this Ferndale neighborhood now nearly 12 hours after officers first showed up here to attempt to remove guns from a home and ended up shooting and killing the gun owner. Flashing red and blue lights cut through the rain in this Ferndale neighborhood Monday afternoon. Police now guarding the street where their attempt to enforce the new red flag law turned fatal hours earlier.
Pushing are these extreme risk temporary orders that would essentially allow law enforcement to take weapons away from individuals that are deemed at risk and not allow them to buy more weapons. I asked one senior White House official if they believe that the NRA may be opposed to these policies, specifically that potential temporary restraining order. I was told that the NRA would back this potential legislation moving forward. Let's get to the things that are not in these proposals. Wolf, you mentioned raising the age, minimum age to buy an assault-style weapon. Beyond that, in that same meeting that the president had with legislators here at the White House just a few weeks ago, he seemed to back the idea of comprehensive universal background checks. That is not mentioned in these proposals at all, Wolf. It appears that the White House is taking a few steps back from where the president himself was just a few days after the shooting.
You can't buy a handgun at 18, 19, or 20. You have to wait till you're 21. But you can buy the gun, the weapon used in this horrible shooting at 18. You are going to decide. The people in this room pretty much are going to decide. But I would give very serious thought to it. I can say that the NRA is opposed to it. And I'm a fan of the NRA. I mean, there's no bigger fan. I'm a big fan of the NRA. They want to do it. These are great people. These are great patriots. They love our country. But that doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. It doesn't make sense that I have to wait till I'm 21 to get a handgun, but I can get this weapon at 18. I don't know. So I was just curious as to what you did in your bill.
We didn't address it, Mr. President. Look, I think
you know why? Because you're afraid of the NRA, right?
No,
the NRA
5 years ago. Yeah.
It's a big issue right now. A lot of people are talking about it. But a lot of people are afraid of that issue, raising the age for that weapon to 21.
So Senator Murphy and I and 46 Senate colleagues on a bipartisan basis have what we think is a start. It's not the end-all, be-all. There's other things that people want to add to it. You talked about the bump stock issue that Senator Feinstein, I know, cares passionately.
If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it.
And I'm going to write that out because we can do that with an executive order.
We are not just going to be waiting for legislation in order to make sure that we're providing Americans the kind of help that they need. I've got a pen and I've got a phone. And I can use that pen to to sign executive orders and take executive actions.
I'll do what I want.
I'm going to write the bump stock, essentially write it out. So you won't have to worry about bump stock. Shortly, that'll be gone. We can focus on other things. Frankly, I don't even know if it would be good in this bill. It's nicer to have a separate piece of paper where it's gone, and we'll have that done pretty quickly. They're working on it right now, the lawyers. Go ahead.
But we need
for the reasons rewind. For the Second Amendment at the time it was adopted. And I said it doesn't matter what their reasons are. What matters is whether or not it's relevant today. And that's the answer.
It matters. It is relevant.
Eternal truth. And that's eternal truth. Relevant in all time. When they consider any part of the Constitution, any law, they're going to say, what does it mean today?
No.
Let the man speak.
The threat of tyranny today is no less than the turn of the century in the 1900s.
Hear ye.
1800 or 1700.
Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, RTR Truth Media, RTRTruthMedia.com. I'm your host, Tom Lacavera-Stewart. Ah, folks, it's been, I've wanted to get into this red flag protective order business, and look, first I'm gonna start off by saying, folks, my job isn't here as a conservative to blow flowers up your skirt. It's not here. I'm not here to make you comfy. I'm not here to pander to popularity. I'm not here to defend actions that are taken by representatives of our government just because they have an R in front of their name. What I heard, what I've been hearing, is the same old stuff that pissed us off when Obama was doing it. And when I sat there and I heard that the president of the United States was talking about taking the guns first, Pence sitting across from him saying, you know, we'll provide for due process first, then we'll, because we don't want to trample people's rights. When he turned around and he said, no, I want to take the guns first, he basically said right in Pence's face, yeah, I don't mind trampling on people's rights because I have a phone and a pen. That's what I heard. I don't know if that's what you heard. I know that the show before mine, that's very popular with the Trump crowd, and I'm sorry to pee in your cornflakes, but I'm going to stay true to myself. I'm going to stay true to the principles that we were given an opportunity to find freedom for ourselves in absolute inalienable rights that are defined very clearly. Shall not be infringed, shall always mean to me, shall not be infringed, period. So let's look to Baltimore, to the effects that you just heard in that clip. Two police officers serving one of Maryland's new red flag protective orders to remove guns from a house killed a Ferndale man after he refused to give up his gun because... You have to understand, folks, this law does not change decades of conditioning in the American people that understand that in order to be penalized, in order to have your private property removed from you, there needs to be due process first. That these red flag laws are going to kill people. Make no mistake about it. Because ingrained in every American who's of any substantial age, they will resist. Because they have been taught from the time that they were kids that due process comes first. That's it. So they killed this man. Now he's the subject of a so-called protective order. Gary J. Willis, age 60, answered his door in the 100 block of Linwood Avenue with his gun in his hand because it was, I don't know, 5 o'clock in the morning. Who comes pounding on your door at 5 o'clock in the morning? In this type of neighborhood, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Ferndale. I am. I would have probably, if I was him, probably would have done the same thing. So he initially put the gun down next to the door, but imagine that he became irate when police officers began to serve him with an order to confiscate his guns. He opened the door and he reached, I'm sure he wasn't going to kill the cops or anything, but he reached for the door, and he reached for the gun, and I think he wanted to close the door and retreat back into his house, but then a fight ensued over the gun, and one of the officers struggled to take it from him, and during the struggle, the gun fired, but it did not strike anyone. At that point, the other officer fatally shot Willis. Neither officer was injured, police said. Neither of their names are released as of yet. Davis said she did not know whether anyone else was in the home at the time. She did not know who sought the protective order against Willis. The police are completely oblivious and just following orders. Yep, good old following orders. Forget that oath you took. Yep, just follow those orders. So anyway, the red flag protective orders are officially known as emergency risk protection orders and may be sought by family members, police, or others to temporarily prohibit people's access to firearms when they, quote, show signs that they are a danger to themselves or others. And that is so vague. That is absolutely so vague. And all it takes is the word of somebody without any evidence, without any proof. They have now officially weaponized being a jerk. All you need to do is have a beef with somebody and make something up. Essentially, legalized swatting is what I call this. So this law took effect on October 1st, and already a man is dead. And I lay this, his death, and the blood of his death on every single politician that stood for this type of insanity. So a spokeswoman for the Maryland Judiciary denied a request to see any and all requests for protection orders made at the residence on Linwood Avenue, citing the law, which states that anything related to an order is confidential, right, private, folks, unless the court rules otherwise. Police had come to the house Sunday night to speak with this man, a longtime resident of the neighborhood, said Michelle Willis, who was on the scene Monday morning and identified herself as his niece. She attributed that visit by police to family by being family, but declined to elaborate. She said one of her aunts requested the protective order to temporarily remove Willis's guns. So this was a family member. A family member was complicit in this man's death. This reminds me of Bolshevik Russia. The snitching. Michelle Willis said she had grown up in the house and had been there Sunday night to move out her son, who had been helping to care for her grandmother. Her uncle, Gary Willis, lived in an apartment above the garage. He wasn't even in the house. He wasn't even a part of the house. He had an apartment in the garage. She said other family members, including her grandmother, another uncle, two aunts, and Gary Willis's girlfriend were also at the home Sunday night. She said her uncle likes to speak his mind, but she described him as harmless. I'm just dumbfounded right now, she said. My uncle wouldn't hurt anybody. They sent the cops to confiscate his guns because he's opinionated. Talk about a chilling effect for anybody. Look, I'm not, at this point, if I were living there, I wouldn't want anyone in my home. I wouldn't let anybody live with me. I wouldn't want to be around anybody. This Orwellian law is going to have such a chilling effect, not just on guns, folks, but on relationships. Now people have to live in fear if they're a gun owner, have never committed a crime, have never harmed anybody in their life. Now they have to live in fear that, God forbid, they should piss somebody off. They may end up dead. So those who'd been in the home were interviewed by the police. She and other family members, this niece, stood down the street in the rain waiting for police to let family members into the home Monday morning, in part to retrieve two dogs and a cat still inside. Willis said the officers should should have continued to negotiate with her uncle. They didn't need to do what they did, she said. Anne Arundel County reported 19 such red flag petitions in October after this law passed. It didn't take long. October 1st hit, and the snitches were ready. They were ready, and they came. They're tied with Harford County for the most in the state. That's just one county, 19, just in one county immediately after the law took effect. It's like a bunch of idiots were sitting around just waiting for this law to go into effect so they could red flag people. Good God. Have we lost our minds? So, I'm sorry, folks. You're always Trumpers. I was not a never Trumper. I was hopeful. I was hopeful. And I've heard all of the arguments. Trump's great at the economy. The economy's doing great. Well, if your priority over somebody's life and their natural, inalienable rights is because we're doing better financially, then you need to have your head examined. What would Samuel Adams have to say about that? Huh? What do you think Thomas Jefferson would have to say about that? What do you think Patrick Henry would have to say about that? That's what I want people to think really long and really hard. What would those gentlemen have to say about that? What would my ancestors have to say who fought, bled, and died in the Revolution have to say about that? Woo! This one got really, my blood is boiling over this one. When I heard, it was the first time I had heard that clip of the president saying, take the guns first. I had heard somebody had told me about it, but I finally went and pulled it. And I had to take a walk. I had to take a friggin' walk. Anyway, if you guys want to call in 1-800-313-9443, please feel free to do so. I still have a couple minutes. I could take a caller now. George in Texas. George in Texas, you're on Resurrect Republic. Hello, George in Texas.
Hello?
Hey, there you are. Yeah, I can hear you.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
But you know, the thing is, this red flag law, I think it went back many years, you know. Like
sure.
With the VA, you know, with the VA, it's like I'm a veteran. I get these letters from the VA say, come have a free psych evaluation. They want to see I have a concealed carry permit so they could whatever, so they could take my gun just because I said I had a bad day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, thank you. No, you can keep that that free evaluation.
Yeah, and the thing is, and I even tell police, I said, you know, about this red flag log, you know, it's going to be a lot of attrition on your side.
Yep.
And the thing is, and it's like I would tell the politician, you want these like these red flag? Why don't you go knock on doors and take guns?
I've been saying that for a long time. See how you would do it. You'd be the first one in the door.
But you know, it's just the thing is, you know, this is coming to a head. You know, the thing is, the truth is, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, they don't trust us with weapons. I mean, with guns. I mean, even like in certain cities where we be purple, they got the three-step rule. Like, if a home invader comes into your house, you got this rule: your back has to be really against the wall until you can fire your weapon. You know, stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but,
these
you know,
are
the
just
criminals
they're restrained. They're chipping away at this. This has really nothing to do with anything more than absolute control. And you know,
it's professional courtesy to the criminal.
Well, it's you know what? It's really not even about the criminal, because what they're doing. If it was really actually for the criminal, what they would do is they would make sentences for person-to-person violent crime more harsh. Sentencing. You don't take people who have never, like this guy, is a perfect example. He's never had a violent crime in his life. He's never harmed anyone in his life. He's 60 years old. He's never hurt anybody. And now he's dead, right? This isn't about the criminal. This isn't about, and the this agenda has been going on for a long time. And I tried telling people a long time ago. I was listening earlier to a live podcast where a bunch of gun guys on YouTube, they had a live stream going, and they were all talking about, well, I'm law abiding, and the bad guys, and the felons. And I finally chimed in, and I was like, hey, fellas, what's your definition of a felon, one? All right, to them, that's anybody that's committed a crime. To me, if you haven't committed a person-to-person crime or committed a crime with a gun, what does you having a gun have anything to do with anything? See, this is what they do. They you remember that old thing that they came for this guy and I wasn't that guy, so, you know, and then they came for this guy and I wasn't that guy, so when they came for me, there was nobody left to defend me. Well, they have been they've been using that commerce clause of the U.S. Constitution to make an end around the Second Amendment. Now, all these crimes are commercial crimes, all under the Commerce Clause.
Well, you know, the thing is, felony, I think that's an admiralty term, because in the Constitution, the only time felony is ever mentioned is on the high seas.
Yep.
So.
Yep, well, that's another good point. That's another very good point. And what are commercial crimes? But they are, that is, it's admiralty law. It's law of merchant, it's law's merchant. That's what they are. So, yes, sir. That's, you know, and I don't know about you, but I had a lot of hope for Trump. I really did. I had hope. But it seems like the same authoritarianism with that phone in the pen mentality, the same one that we spoke out about so harshly against Obama. I mean, Obama just gave us a million gems to run with, right? But I hear the same rhetoric. What do you think?
Well, the thing is, I listened to another interview with Ted Nugent, because he heard the same thing about new due process, and like Dianne Feinstein right next to him, you know, sitting there just having an orgasm in the chair.
Yep.
You know.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I just think he just did that to expose the real heart of the Democratic Party. You know, Feinstein.
I wish I had the same kind of cheerful outlook in life, but you know what? All of the research we've done going all the way back to the founding of our republic tells me otherwise. There's this thing that I call the cult of the state of statism, right? Because when we get somebody who appeals more to our conservative values, we take a deep breath and we start making apologies for this guy. It doesn't matter who he is. I saw the same thing happen under I heard the same thing happen during the Bush administration. There were all kinds of people that were that it took them quite a few years after Bush was long gone to realize the damage that Bush did, right? It took them years to understand what a neoconservative was. And a neoconservative is not a conservative at all. They're Trotskyite conservatives. And, you know, I don't know. I'm frustrated with this whole thing, but the bottom line is authoritarianism. That's what it is.
Well,
so anyway.
You know, it's like with the Hillary, like I say, Hillary and Obama might go to jail soon. You know what this looks like? The old Charlie Brown theme of when Lucy holds the football and tells Charlie Brown not to pull it away. You know, it's the same thing, basically.
That's exactly right. It's all theater. I agree. Thank you. Thank you, George.
All right. Have a good evening.
You too. All right, folks. On to the next topic at hand here. I figured since we were going to talk about these matters related to Trump and some crazy things that were going on. Look, I don't know how many of you guys know that what's going on with Jeffrey Epstein, right? This guy, good old Jeff, this cretin, blows my mind, this guy. He got on such a light sentence for what he did. And it bothers me in some kind of way. So, the Miami Herald did a four-part piece, and look, you know, take it with a grain of salt. It came from the Miami Herald. But they did, they really did do an in-depth investigation into this stuff, right? I'm going to share that with you tonight because there's some tie-ins here that really bother me. So on a muggy October morning in 2007, Miami's top federal prosecutor, Alexander Acosta, who we all know, we saw the confirmation hearings, had a breakfast appointment with a former colleague in Washington, D.C., attorney Jay Lefkowitz. It was an unusual meeting for the then 38-year-old prosecutor, a rising Republican star who had served in the several White House posts before being named U.S. attorney in Miami by neocon President George W. Bush. So instead of meeting at the prosecutor's Miami headquarters, the two men, both with professional roots in the prestigious Washington law firm of Kirkland & Ellis, convened at the Marriott in West Palm Beach about 70 miles away. For Lefkowitz, 44 years old, a U.S. special envoy to North Korea and a corporate lawyer, the meeting was critical. His client, Palm Beach millionaire Jeffrey Epstein, 54, was accused of assembling a large cult-like network of underage girls with the help of young female recruiters to coerce into having sex acts behind the walls of his opulent waterfront mansion as often as three times a day, the town of Palm Beach police found. This one really kind of really pisses me off, too. The eccentric hedge fund manager, whose friends included former President Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, Prince Andrew, was also suspected of trafficking minor girls, often from overseas, for sex parties at his other homes in Manhattan, New Mexico, the Caribbean, is what the FBI and court records show. Now, facing a 53-page federal indictment, Epstein could have ended up in federal prison for the rest of his life. But on the morning of the breakfast meeting, a deal was struck, an extraordinarily unusual plea agreement that would conceal the full extent of Epstein's crimes and the number of people involved. I want you to listen to this really closely because this really hits home to me. Not only would Epstein serve only 13 months, folks, I spent around 14 months for defending two innocent ranchers in Oregon. Not being a pedophile, sex trafficking maniac. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. Not only would he serve just 13 months in the county jail, but the deal called a non-prosecution agreement. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but for 16 hours out of the day, he could live in his mansion. He would just have to report there to sleep. So he didn't even really do the 13 months. So the deal called a non-prosecution agreement essentially shut down an ongoing FBI probe into whether there were more victims and other powerful people who took part in Epstein's sex crimes. According to a Miami Herald examination of thousands of emails, court documents, and FBI records, by the way, there are links available to those in the links that we're going to be sharing in the archive tonight. The PAC required Epstein to plead guilty to two prostitution charges in state court. Two prostitution charges. Epstein and four of his accomplices named in the agreement received an immunity from all federal criminal charges. I wonder why that was, ladies and gentlemen. Do you think it might have something to do with what dirt he had on those original list of friends that I just gave you? But no, everybody will just point to Clinton. That'll be the only one. We'll be back, even though Clinton's a bastard too. We'll be back. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, RTR Truth Media, real conservatives fighting for the Republic. Let me tell you how it's gonna work, kids. You work hard like your parents both did. Everything you earn by breaking your backs. We're gonna redistribute when we make our pay tax. Hey, sit down, don't be a jerk.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
In the night, in the night.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, Resurrect Republic Truth Radio broadcast. That's RTRTruthMedia.com. All right, folks, this is your host, Tom Lacavera-Stewart, and I'm going to be joined in the future, in addition to J.J. Zapp, a good old friend, John Mesmer, who will be coming back as a guest host. I look forward to his return. We were just talking a bit about working together, and I really, really look forward to that. And, folks, the new YouTube channel is just starting to wake up just a little tiny bit. Took me a little while. But it's coming to life. I have a couple of friends who have helped me along the way. Of course, I'd like to thank Adam Green of No More News, Jake Morfonios of Blackstone Intelligence Network, Richie from Boston, Chris Hinckley, and I'm sure there's more that I can. Folks, Zionist Report on YouTube just had his channel terminated. Yet another one in the long termination. Censorship. Now the funny thing about that is not really funny, but he only shared other content that was already out there. In other words, like news reports, things like that. He really didn't give opinion. He used fair use material, and they just bing, 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 took his channel and just destroyed it. Years of work, website, ZionistReport.com, just trashed him. Now, that's sad. We all need your help these days. We are, my main channel was making certainly wasn't making me rich, but it was paying the bills that I need to cover to do this type of stuff. I don't know if you guys get a chance too much to go to rtrtruthmedia.com and see the work that we put in there. But you know, do that for me. Hit that PayPal button on the top right hand side of rtrtruthmedia.com and help us out, because we need every bit of your support now, because we're being censored. We're being censored fast. So we're trying to build a private platform. There's a couple things that we're doing behind the scenes. But certainly we could use your support. Anyway, getting back to Epstein. So not only would this idiot serve 13 months worth of checking in the evening, I guess, but this non-prosecution agreement essentially shut down an ongoing FBI probe into whether there were more victims and other powerful people who took part in Epstein's sex crimes. According to a Miami Herald examination of these emails and court documents. So the pact required Epstein to plead guilty to two prostitution charges. Epstein and four of the accomplices, like I had said, were named in the agreement, received immunity. But even more unusual, the deal included wording that granted immunity to any potential co-conspirators. You get this? Listen carefully. The deal included wording that granted immunity to any potential co-conspirators. That means Bill Clinton. That means Alan Dershowitz. That means, God forbid, Donald Trump. Anybody else that visited his little sex trafficking island or did any of these things. Federally, all co-conspirators granted immunity. Who do you think has that kind of power to make something like that happen? Here's the elephant in the room there that nobody wants to deal with, but I'm going there. You know exactly where I'm going. So these accomplices or participants were not identified in the agreement, of course, leaving it open to interpretation whether it possibly referred to other influential people who were having sex with underage girls at Epstein's various homes or on his plane. As a part of the arrangement, Acosta agreed, despite a federal law to the contrary, that the deal would be kept from the victims. As a result, the non-prosecution agreement was sealed until after it was approved by the judge, thereby averting any chance that the girls or anyone else might show up in court and try and derail it. This is the story of how Epstein, bolstered by unlimited funds and represented by a powerhouse legal team, was able to manipulate the criminal justice system, and how his accusers, still traumatized by their past, believed that they were betrayed by the very prosecutors who pledged to protect them. I don't think anyone has been told the truth about what Jeffrey Epstein did, said one of Epstein's victims, Michelle Licata, now 30 years old. He ruined my life and a lot of girls' lives. People need to know what he did and why he wasn't prosecuted so it never happens again. So now, here's where it gets a little bit interesting for me. Now, President Trump names this guy Acosta, who basically gave this guy the sweetest deal that he could ever get, keeping him out of jail, keeping him out of prison, and letting all of his co-conspirators off. And this guy is given a cabinet position as labor secretary under the Trump administration. And now Acosta oversees a massive federal agency that provides oversight of the country's labor laws, including human trafficking. You get that? So not only is he letting human traffickers off, but now he's put in the position that includes overseeing the enforcement of laws that prevent human trafficking. Nothing could be more perverse. I'm just about sick and tired of all government, period. Where are the conservatives with the testicular fortitude not to be afraid of being castigated by others? Since when did we have to start apologizing for absolute deplorable decisions? So Acosta, of course, did not respond to any contact of attempt to interview. Court records reveal details of the negotiations and the role that Acosta would play in arranging the deal, which scuttled the federal probe into a possible international sex trafficking operation. Folks, when you people out there start telling me how Trump signed an executive order to end human trafficking, stick this in your pipe and smoke it. Let this smack you in the face and wake you up. It's all theater, all of it. Clinton, Obama, Bush, Trump, all of them, all of them. Unequivocally, all of them. Political theater, political prostitution, all of it. Break free from that left-right paradigm, folks. Stop allowing your political affiliation to apologize for crimes against humanity. It makes me sick. It should make you sick. And as a conservative, if you're a conservative out there and you're a Christian even more, if there's any way that you can accept this in your gut and be honest with yourself and look at yourself in the mirror, I don't know what to tell you. You're lost. You're lost if that's the case. Acosta allowed Epstein's lawyers unusual freedoms in dictating the terms of the non-prosecution agreement. The damage that happened in this case is unconscionable, said Bradley Edwards, a former state prosecutor who represents some of Epstein's victims. How in the world do you, the U.S. attorney, engage in a negotiation with the criminal defendant, basically allowing that criminal defendant to write up his own agreement? How do you do that? How do you do that and sleep at night unless you're a sociopath? As a result, neither the victims nor even the judge would know how many girls Epstein allegedly sexually abused between 2001 and 2005 when his underage sex activities were first uncovered by the police. Thank God the police were at least trying to do their job. Police referred to the case to the FBI a year later, big mistake there, I guess, when they began to suspect that their investigation was being undermined by the Palm Beach State Attorney's Office. So even the state attorney's office in Palm Beach County was in on the fix, apparently. Allegedly. Sure looks that way, though. This is not a he said, she said type of case. This is not a Me Too case. This is not one of those things where a couple allegations are made. Nobody can remember how they got there, how they got home. Not the same thing. I'm not one of those Me Tooers. This was 50-something she's and one he. And the she's all basically told the same story, said retired Palm Beach Police Chief Michael Ryder, who supervised the police probe. Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Thank you for having the integrity of telling the truth. More than a decade later, at a time when the Olympic gymnasts and Hollywood actresses have become a catalyst for cultural reckoning about sexual abuse, that whole Me Too thing, Epstein's victims have been long forgotten. Where do you see, where is all the outrage out there on the left with Me Too, with Epstein? Doesn't exist because they're all frauds. Those Hollywood prostitutes are all frauds. They're achieving an agenda, and Jeffrey Epstein isn't on their list. These women that are now in their late 20s and 30s are still fighting for justice that even the passage of time has not made right. Like other victims, they believe that they've been silenced by a criminal justice system that stubbornly fails to hold Epstein and other wealthy and powerful men accountable. Jeffrey preyed on girls who were in a bad way, girls who were basically homeless. He went after girls who he thought no one would listen to, and he was right, said Courtney Wilde, who was 14 years old when she met Epstein. She was a victim of him, too. Epstein paid Wilde and many other underage girls to give him massages, often having them undress and perform sexual acts. It's disgusting. Over the past year, the Miami Herald examined a decade's worth of court documents, lawsuits, witness depositions, newly released FBI documents, key people involved in the investigation, most of whom had never spoken before, were also interviewed. The Herald also obtained new records, including the full unredacted copy of the Palm Beach police investigation and witness statements that had been kept under seal. The Herald learned that as part of the plea deal, Epstein provided what the government called valuable consideration for unspecified information he supplied to federal investigators. While the documents obtained by the Herald don't detail what the information was, Epstein's sex crime case happened just as the country's subprime mortgage market collapsed, ushering in the 2008 global financial crisis. So records show that Epstein was a key federal witness in the criminal prosecution of two prominent executives with Bear Stearns, the global investment brokerage that failed in 2008, who were accused of corporate securities fraud. Epstein was one of the largest investors in the hedge fund managed by these executives, who were later acquitted, by the way, acquitted. It is not known what role, if any, the case played in Epstein's plea negotiations. So here's a neat thing. Yeah, let me turn two people in. Use that as the window dressing for getting a special deal. Those guys get acquitted. I have to do 13 months of having to spend the night occasionally in jail while I get to stay in my luxurious mansion, and then we move on. Managed de merga tu cachefer. I can't believe this. The Herald also identified about 80 women who say they were molested or otherwise sexually abused by Epstein from 2001 to 2006. About 60 of them were located. Now scattered around the country and abroad, 8 of them agreed to be interviewed on or off the record. 4 of them were willing to speak on video. The women are now mothers, wives, nurses, bartenders, realtors, hairdressers, teachers. One is a Hollywood actress. Several have grappled with trauma, depression, and addiction. Some have served time in prison. This is the type of people that he preyed upon, people that were vulnerable. A few did not survive. One woman was found dead last year in a rundown motel in West Palm Beach. She overdosed, left behind a young son. As part of Epstein's agreement, he was required to register as a sex offender and pay restitution to the 36 victims identified by the FBI. Oh, so he has to pay restitution to people that he never trafficked or engaged in pedophilic sex with. But he has to pay restitution to them. Yeah, that was a part of the deal, I guess. In many cases, the confidential financial settlements came only after Epstein's attorneys exposed every dark corner of these girls' lives in a scorched earth effort to portray the girls as gold diggers. Sounds like the same thing Hillary Clinton did. Or that rapist, you know? You beat yourself up mentally and physically, said Jenna Lisa Jones, 30, who said Epstein molested her when she was only 14 years old. You can't ever stop your thoughts. A word can trigger something. For me, is the word pure, because he called me pure in that room. And then I remember what he did to me in that room. Now, more than a decade later, two unrelated civil lawsuits, one set for trial on December 4th, could reveal more about Epstein's crimes. The December 4th case in Palm Beach County State Court involves Epstein and Edwards, whom Epstein had accused of legal misdeeds and representing several victims. The case is noteworthy because it will mark the first time that Epstein's victims will have their day in court, and several of them are scheduled to testify. So a second lawsuit, known as the Federal Crimes Victims' Rights Suit, is still pending in South Florida after a decade of legal jousting. It seeks to invalidate the non-prosecution agreement in hopes of sending Epstein to federal prison. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? That is the goal. The Federal Crime Victims' Rights Suit may just nullify that sweet, sweet deal. But here's the thing. I'm not so sure whether they can nullify the global pardon of any of his co-conspirators. Federal prosecutors, including Acosta, and I'm going to tell you why that is. Because if they did, I'm sure Epstein would have had to give evidence, give information as to who some of them were. Well, you can't offer somebody something and have them give information and then withdraw it. You can withdraw it on them. I think there may be a legal precedent against him still being able to give up, which may have been the end goal all along, is protecting his so-called co-conspirators, because there could be very powerful and influential people. Federal prosecutors, including Acosta, not only broke the law, the women contend in court documents, but they conspired with Epstein and his lawyers to circumvent public scrutiny and deceive his victims in violation of the Crime Victims' Rights Act. The law assigns victims a series of rights, including the right of notice of any court proceedings and the opportunity to appear at sentencing. We'll be right back. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast. RTRmedia.com.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My ears, not a word I
back. Welcome back, Resurrect the Republic. Look, we don't have much time left tonight. Virginia Roberts was working at Mar-a-Lago when she was recruited to be a masseuse to Palm Beach hedge fund manager Jeffrey Epstein. She was lured into a life of depravity and sexual abuse. I'm going to roll this clip and see if we can get it all in. Please roll that clip.
Scared. I knew these people were powerful. I didn't know what would happen if I said no. I didn't know what would happen if they reported, if I reported them. That 16-year-old girl just let it happen. And that was how I got into the abuse with Jeffrey and Gila.
Virginia Roberts was working in the spa at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago Club in Palm Beach when British socialite Ghislaine Maxwell introduced her to multimillionaire Jeffrey Epstein.
The training started immediately. I mean, it was everything down to how to give a blowjob, how to be quiet, be subservient, give Jeffrey what he wants. A lot of this training came from Ghislaine herself. And being a woman, it kind of surprises you that a woman could actually let stuff like that happen, but not only let it happen, but to groom you into doing it. And then there's Jeffrey, who's telling you, I want it this way. No, go slower and don't do that and do this.
Over the next few weeks, Jeffrey Epstein, man, this guy is just dirty as hell.
Don't know how to, you're screaming on the inside and you don't know how to let it come out, and you just become this numb figure who refuses to feel and refuses to speak and refuses.
You guys got the idea.
Well, now we're gonna experiment and we're gonna try.
You guys got the idea, I suppose. Now, I'm gonna put all the links to this so that you can see that this girl and her story is going to be in the link. We're gonna cover this. We're gonna do part two tomorrow night. And you know, this is something that needs to be spoken about. I know that it doesn't make any of us comfortable, but there are some serious shenanigans. Shenanigans. That's a good word for this. There's some serious shenanigans going on here, folks. I tell you, it's beyond twisted. There's collusion all over the place in Washington. Can you imagine who is on the list of the co-conspirators that were left off of this? Can you imagine? This guy, he ended up doing 13 months for a couple of prostitution charges. These girls were 14 years old. Ugh. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, RTRTruthMedia.com. Good night, folks. Have a good one.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.